Chapter 36. Lysander. Jurisdiction.
Lysander, wake up.
I emerge from the darkness into pain. A familiar voice speaks in my ear. Pythus, rushed and worried.
Lysander, can you hear me? You are poisoned and put in a medically induced coma. We've only just brought you out. Something has happened. Squeeze my hand if you can hear me.
I can understand her, but I cannot reply. My body is possessed by a cold flame. It ghosts through my bones like a memory of hell. It wants to be hot, the flame. Something restrains it. A drug. I feel the numbness in my thoughts.
This won't do. We need him lucid. He's an eggplant.
Cicero's voice.
Do you hear that?
Hear what?
Pythus says. Boots. They're coming. Damn it. Exeter must have told them.
There's a whoosh of a door retracting.
Boots thump into the room. Pulse weapons whine. A demonic voice rasps,
Step back from the blood.
Praetorians, we mean your Dominus no harm. It's me, Cicero.
Dominus, step back from the blood or you will be fired upon.
It's too late, Kyber. We already pulled him out. Pythus shakes me. Wake up, moon boy. Can you hear me? You need to wake up. Everything is at stake.
Praetorian Kyber, be reasonable, Cicero says. We are Lysander's closest companions, not to mention I was your host on Venus and positively drowned you all in wine and pinks. Furthermore, I am the head of a house of the conquering.
Rhone, thank Jove, there you are. Tell your men to stand down. This is absurd behaviour.
Rhone's voice is hostile.
You woke him. My orders were clear.
Yes, you surpass your post, my good man. You have no right...
Domini. I am his dux. I have every right to make decisions for him when he is incapacitated. You are the one without right. I am also the ranking officer on the Lightbringer, Captain Pythus.
Flavinus, what is wrong with you?
Pythus snaps.
You know he'd want to be woken. He risked everything for this alliance with the Rim. He'd never forgive us if...
Pythus... I murmur. They stop arguing. Cicero leaps to my side, shoving Pythus out of the way in his elation to see me first.
Salve, brother. How do you feel?
Shit.
I'll say. We thought you'd died. Don't do that to me. You know I've a timorous heart. My sister has been keeping things afloat. Don't you worry.
Report.
Rhone approaches.
Dominus, you are poisoned. Do you remember?
Rain. Fall yet?
He needs water,
Pythus says, and presses a metal straw to my lips, embarrassing both Cicero and Rhone for not considering my comfort. I'm happiest to see Pythus. Her civic crown has been tattooed. It looks proper on her head. My swallows are sluggish, but the water cools the arid rawness of my throat. I choke in my eagerness to fill myself with it. Pythus wipes tears from my face with a corner of her uniform. The tears are bloody. Now I recognize the cold flame in my body. I remember the poison.
Medusa's lament,
I murmur. Rhone nods. Even my teeth are starting to ache. It will get worse, far worse. I take a few moments to sift through the muddle of my thoughts.
How long?
8 days since you went under,
Pythus says, unable to hide her relief.
Don't strain yourself.
We have Atalantia's assassin, Rhone reports. It was one of the pink acrobats, I fear.
The one who came down on her silks to offer me a bit of leisure.
Wrath wasn't incriminated. We have her confession recorded, should you like to send it to the 200 and make a formal complaint. But some know already. Many are furious. You're even more popular than before you started crying blood.
What an advantage! Cicero is far too delighted by my poisoning.
She swung and she missed, Lysander.
It's brilliant! This might be the costliest assassination attempt in that heinous woman's storied career. We have the votes. We can call a session of the 200 and strip her of her powers. Maybe worse. Lysander Invictus indeed. But never mind that. You're awake now. Much has happened. Tell me, I croak.
Lysander, they're in. They're abandoning the siege, Pytha says, blessedly blunt. Diomedes has been asking to speak with you since yesterday.
Roan wouldn't allow it. Your Medici panel agree that 9 more days were required to guarantee your recovery, Roan explains. I consulted with Lady Bellona and Apollonius and ordered their advice followed. I didn't want to risk your life, Dominus.
Where is Ajax?
They go quiet.
Oh, sorry. My head's a little off.
Cicero can't help himself. Lysander, you have to stop the Rim from leaving. All we've worked for. It's at risk. Dido won't listen to me or Lady Bellona. Make Diomedes listen to you. Make him tell his mother to stay, or at least tell us what is happening.
By the look in Pytha's eyes, I know she thinks that is a dubious proposition and woke me for a different reason.
Her hand squeezes mine. There's another option, she says. He said as much to me.
I nod, eliciting thunderclaps of pain.
Show him in.
Roan objects. Dominus, Medusa's lament is not finished with you. It won't be for some time. If you remain awake, you could go into shock. The risk to your nervous system and for organ failure is
acceptable. Show him in.
The old soldier holds my gaze and nods with reluctance.
Diomedes enters the room wearing his dusty cloak of office. I fear I've caused a disturbance, he says, and surveys me in my medical bed with deep concern. But I'm glad you're awake. Flavinius thinks I've killed you by waking you too early.
Overprotective, I murmur, just doing his duty.
If Diomedes wasn't worried at the sight of me, he is by the halting rasp of my voice. Beneath that worry is a tension I don't like one bit. My friends did not exaggerate. He is leaving. I fight back the panic rising in me.
They say Medusa's lament is unpleasant, he says, understated as ever. I'm pleased to hear that you will survive. Are you in pain?
Why are you leaving? Our reign.
A fresh surge of agony lances through my left eye socket and stirs my brain into bloody grey mush.
What?
I breathe heavily, waving off his concern with a clumsy hand.
What has happened?
The beacons of Jupiter burn red. Ilium is under attack.
I don't understand. Ilium. The moons around Jupiter. His home. The pain makes it hard to think, but not as hard as the painkillers pumping into me through the med bracelet. Forming thoughts is like walking through neck-deep sludge.
Attack? Yes. The Republic. Darrow? How?
No, not the Republic.
He hesitates. 2 days ago, we received an emergency tight beam from my grandmother in Sungrave and the Moon Council on Ganymede. Both messages were confirmed by our long lenses near the belt.
He hesitates.
Trust me,
I say.
Ilium is under attack by an obsidian fleet led by a warlord, one who might be known to you through your intelligence reports. Volsung Far.
I think very hard.
The pirate leader, the same who attacked Olympia, stole the Pandora and the Volk fleet, I feel like I've been asleep for years. He's raiding the asteroid belt. Republic cities. Trade posts. His fight is with them.
We thought so, too. It seems that's changed, Diomedes says. 3 days ago, the Ilium Guard responded to an Ascomani raid at Garmaga, one of the outer moons of Jupiter. Instead of encountering a raiding group of Ascomani corvettes, as intelligence suggested, they encountered a core-grade war fleet comprising dreadnoughts and destroyers, supplemented by Ascomani ships in numbers not even my great-grandfather ever encountered. The Ilium Guard was destroyed completely.
I must be high on the painkillers. The defense fleet of the Ra homeland gone?
There were warnings, of course. My grandmother, the isolationist who cried wolf one too many times. Our intelligence is incomplete, but we believe Tha has united the Ascomani and the Volk. He claims to be the father of Ragnar Volaris.
We heard that rumor, too.
Is he?
We don't know. I'm breaking the law even telling you we don't know. Like you, we thought he was still somewhere in the belt attacking Republic stations and trade posts. Apparently his ransacking of Mars, his coup of safety, now seem nothing more than stepping stones for his true ambition. A war against my people, just when we can least afford it. He saw his chance and exploited it.
Very clever, but not surprising in the end. That is the problem with rebellions. They incite others to rebel. Exhausted, I hang my head in sluggish thought.
Diomedes, we have Mars in our grasp. All we did here. If you leave now...
I know. I am sorry, Lysander. But no victory is worth a people's home. We must protect Ilium. We're far closer than the Shadow Armada. Our consuls are in agreement. Even my mother. The Dragon and Dust Armadas will return home at full torch.
Demeter's Garter,
I whisper. Nothing else could make Dido and Helios react so aggressively except a threat to the breadbasket of the Rim.
You think the Ascomani may be able to take the Garter?
He almost scoffs.
Even the Ash Lord and Fabii couldn't take Io. But we cannot let obsidians run rampant in our home system. Not everything is so well defended. We have a duty to protect our people.
I sigh in relief for him. If the Garter were to fall, it would mean famine, death. The Rim is far more fragile than it pretends to be. Life is so hard far away from the sun.
When are you leaving?
I rasp.
Once all the troops are loaded.
When?
Just over 3 hours from now.
Even though I feel for the Rim, it is impossible not to think of my own plight. Without their ships, their troops, my faction will be hard-pressed to maintain the siege, much less take the surface. I feel a second schism forming, all our progress reversing. My allies will be furious at being abandoned. Somewhere, Atalantia will be laughing, the Republic wiping their brows. But Pytha would not wake me unless there was something I could do about this calamity. Filled with immense love for her, I narrow my eyes at Diomedes. Is it just the pain, just the drugs, or is he far more talkative and open than usual?
Then why wake me?
I ask. He considers for a long time.
When you came to Ilium, when you promised an alliance, I thought you were a boy who wanted to matter so badly he'd bend everything to do it, even the truth. On Mercury, I felt that suspicion confirmed. But then you stood in Rome. Then you spoke. Then you sailed. Then, when blood was demanded here to turn pretty promises into hard truths, you opened a vein. You did what you said you would do. I worry. I know Atalantia is not that sort of leader. I fear her. If we leave, the alliance will break. But we must leave. So you must come with us. Prove to Helios, to all, this alliance is more than convenience. Prove it is the future. We do not live in the shadow of Rhea. We make our own light.
I have never seen him so passionate. I do not take his hand, despite the emotions riding in me.
If I do sail with you, what assurances do I have you will return to finish what we started here?
I bind my honor to this. We will give you the shield of Akari. He smiles. And my consul, Dido Aura, has granted me the right to bind her honor to that pledge as well. Help us. The Dragon Armada will come back and help you.
The Shield of Akari? Lady Bellona says. They haven't given that relic to a core girl since Selenius died. It must be under a meter of dust in Plutus.
Unable to stand, I must look pathetic to my allies in the floating chair I rode to the emergency summit held in Julia's new base of operations, Quicksilver's former estate. Horatia has gone home to manage Mercury. Cicero stands at my side, firmly backing my petition to my allies to aid the Rim. Naturally, Apollonius was the last to arrive.
He rode into Quicksilver's former palace on a winged chimera he took as a spoil of war from Julii's household menagerie.
After the beast was led out by nervous Bellona guards, I informed my allies of the Rim's plight and Diomedes' offer. The shield is only given to signify a century pact, I reply with a nod. There has not been one since Selenius died. We change that. We can turn this tragedy into unity.
Diomedes offered it to you? She asks, skeptical.
He did, backed by his mother and the Dragon Armada. Apollonius laughs heartily. The Obsidians have attacked Ilium. The fools. A Sicilian expedition worthy of Alcibiades. What ruinous ambition this far has. Do we have a picture of the devil?
They're a public might, but we don't, I say, trying my best to mask the pain I'm in.
Delicious. A mystery. But Flavinius was right. Better to slumber through the lower fairs and save your vigour for the clarion call of worthier contests. The field of fame is Mars. As soon as Darrow slithers in, all the names will await our glittering spears.
With his servants excluded from the meeting, Apollonius is reduced to combing his own hair. He looks awkward doing it, and tugs at a knot with a grimace. He must have grown bored of his inconvenient and ghastly bullet wound. It is covered with the first layers of a carver's work. Apollonius is not done.
Surely you lower yourself by journeying to that dismal shadowland to hunt mongoloids. Much remains unfinished here, Lysander.
Julia watched Apollonius throughout his monologue with a look of weary tolerance.
Shield or no shield, I believe I agree with Roth, though he does his best to lose the plot.
Julia fixes me with her banker's gaze, tallying both my proposal and my infirmity.
How dire is the threat, truly? Even Fabii couldn't crack Io, much less Sungrave or the Garter, and he had the Sword Armada.
It is dire enough to recall their whole fleet, I say. Her eyes flick to Roan, who stands behind me.
Do you agree, Flavinius?
Roan hesitates and glances at me. You can answer, I say.
He already did, with his eyes, Julia says. But he's a loyal man. Don't put him on the spot. The calamity this causes our campaign will be felt whether I go with them or not, I say. We simply cannot take Mars without support from either House Grimus or House Ra. If my condition is any indication, the former will never happen, and we're teetering on open war with Grimus. That is a fact. We cannot stop Diomedes from leaving. Another fact. But if they go, their isolationist faction is champing at the bit to use our lack of participation as a pretext to end the alliance and not return. I see the problem and the opportunity, Julia says. If we don't bend, we set ourselves up to break. But what exactly do you have in mind? I take a deep breath and fight back the pains that rack my gut. House Roth, Bellona, and your respective clients will maintain the siege of Mars and continue repairs to Phobos and ship production. House Loon and Cicero, with a few of his ships, will lend aid to the Rim. As my Lightbringer cannot match the speed of their armada, my Praetorians and I will go ahead on Diomedes' or Dido's ship. Cicero will follow with the Lightbringer, my House Legions, and his own ships. Anticipating their objections to the risk of my person, I quickly explain. There is a high chance that the Rim will meet and destroy the Obsidian fleet before our ships even make it to Ilium. I don't want to waste this opportunity by having our condition dismissed as theatre. If there is a battle, I will play some part in it so no one can say I did not help my allies. Julia frowns. Votum, this unity madness has bitten you too. Yes, Cicero says. I caused us the assault on Phobos. I know that since then my opinion has been taken very lightly, justifiably so. I apologize. I put my planet, my interests, ahead of this faction of ours. But I believe we have a moral obligation here. I believe we must disprove this theory that the Corps has no honor. That is why I will volunteer my flagship and urge you all to contribute something to this venture. We should not allow civilization, even far-flung, to be marauded by barbarians. Apollonius stands and prowls the room, combing his hair as he thinks. Lysander, I applaud your courage, but be honest. Are you up to it? Julia asks. You can't yet stand. The lament is no idle matter. I put a hand out. Roan. He is a little slow to help me up, but with his aid I gain my feet. A loon never stands without his guard, I reply. So it will be as it always was. Apollonius laughs, and I know he's thinking of all the glory he'll take for himself when I'm gone. Julia rolls her eyes. Well, since the rain is called off, we need time to build our fleet here and over Venus. I'll send Pallas with you. She watches Apollonius hurl his razor 30 meters into the air, yawn, and catch it with his eyes closed. Don't die. 3 hours after Diomedes left me in my bed, Roan pushes my floating chair through the hangar toward the disembarking Ra army. The last of the Ra troops and engineers fall upward in the gravity column toward a vast aperture in the Dragon Song. Roan looks like he's walking to the gallows. 1,000 of my best Praetorians follow behind us. I'd take more, but mobilizing the whole legion will take at least a day, and the Ra are very punctual.
Dominus, I must reiterate my concern, Roan says. Leaving Phobos will put your territory in jeopardy. You leave the door open for Atalantia to snatch your allies. Never mind the risks to your own life. You speak as if staying here with Atalantia would not be a risk to my life, I argue. Tell me, Roan, if we were sailing to protect Mercury, would you sing that same tune? I ask. Mercury deserves our protection. I know you don't trust the Ra and the grudge you hold for them.
but we can't build a future if we cling to the past.
Roan stops the chair.
Dominus, I beg you not to do this. Not only is it a waste of your time, it is an insult to those of the guard who died at Ilium. I have held my tongue, but I must say use it now. This venture is beneath you.
I search his hard eyes. You really should have woken me. I know you're sworn to guard my life, but I hoped you knew my heart as well.
Your heart, like your friends, may not always be wise.
Remember, you are my dux, not my keeper. I value your counsel, but you obey my will, and the matter is concluded.
I hold his gaze. My eyes ache as if they've been stabbed. The lament rose through my body like a cat around a house. Yes, Dominus.
Diomedes waits for me with his mother, just shy of the boarding troops. Neither looks pleased. Dido's thick, dark gold hair flows freely over her right shoulder. She spares me a meagre smile that does not reach her eyes, and scans the Praetorians behind me.
Small change of plans. Potentially awkward, but not unnavigable.
Helios has taken Imperium of both fleets, Diomedes explains. The Moon Lords are in a panic. Grandmother is punishing my mother for this war. When Helios discovered your intentions, he forbade you from travelling with my mother.
How did he find out?
I told him, Diomedes says, as was my duty.
My son, the stick in the mud. He mistakes stubbornness for wisdom and loose lips for honesty, Dido says. But Helios may yet say yes. He gave you high praise for your performance at Phobos.
What praise? I say.
He didn't criticize you once, Diomedes says.
As raving an endorsement as you'll receive from the old ass,
Dido clarifies with a roll of her eyes, then glares across the hangar.
Speak of the mule, and he appears.
Helios and his castle of isolationists stride across the hangar.
The god glove of the dustmaker glints on Helios's right hand.
Helios glares at the Praetorians.
I hear you want to go on a propaganda tour,
Helios says to me. Pride has ruined better men than either of us, I say.
We will come with you, if you let us, with my lightbringer following with a small fleet.
My people have been repairing her for 2 weeks now. She's not pretty, but she still punches. Consider that fleet as insurance. If you do not need our fleet, do not use us, but let us show our respect for you, or cancel our alliance here and now.
Helios doesn't hate that reply.
Tell me, Loon, have you ever fought an Ascomani from the Far Ink? Have any of your guard even seen one? Their tactics are as alien to you as their language. You will be lost.
Consul Lux, have you ever fought Darrow's Volk shock troopers?
Diomedes asks.
Helios's eyes flash with annoyance at his too honest protege.
I have not, but the Praetorians have, and Far seems to have recruited many of Darrow's veterans.
You doubt our arms?
Helios asks.
No. Just our experience, as you doubted Loon's. Perhaps we have something to teach one another after all.
Helios says nothing for a long, odd moment. When he speaks, his tone is entirely different. It shows the respect he has for Diomedes, if not for me.
You can ask me to trust you, Loon.
Very well. Prove your trust to me. Come, but I'll allow no more than 10 of your killers aboard my dustmaker. The rest must follow in your snail ships.
10 is an insult to man of his station,
Roan says from behind.
He's a loon.
Precisely, Helios says.
I turn on Roan, astounded by his lack of discipline.
Silence, Flavinius.
The motion sends excruciating shocks of pain through my spinal cord and calves.
He can bring all he likes onto the dragon song,
Dido offers, wary as she scrutinizes Helios.
Turn, Helio says. And if he comes along with us, he must ride with me. You two are too cozy as it is.
10 will suffice, I say.
Thank you.
Choose them and load. We've wasted time enough. Diomedes, you have his mark.
He turns on a heel and departs with his cadre. That took a lot of energy. Helios thought I wouldn't do it, and Flavinius tried to stop me. I wheel on him.
Flavinius, tell me now. Should I leave you behind? Answer truthfully.
No, Dominus. I apologize.
Then pick 9 of your best, pack your gear, and get on board.
I look past him. We'll be taking Demetrius, Drusilla, Marcus, Coriolanus, and 5 more of Roan's best, but my whisper is missing.
Have you seen Kyber?
Yes, Dominus. She took a shot from a sniper, Roan says.
What, just now? I only just saw her, I say in concern.
Roan motions up Demetrius.
Got hit on the way to the barracks to get her kit, Dominus. She'll live. Sniper didn't, Demetrius says. We got her back to the medbay before she bled out. Knowing her, she'll follow in the Lightbringer.
Good, I say.
I waver. Pain pounds my temples and races along my spine, causing an ache between my shoulder blades. I feel sick.
Snipers, though?
They've been active since you've been under. So much for Lionheart's word, Roan says.
If they're affiliated, I muse.
Then I call out to my men, not part of Roan's picked 9, and urge them to give Kyber my best wishes on a speedy recovery. As the Praetorians sort their equipment, I approach Dido and Diomedes.
What did Helios mean by your mark? Asked Diomedes.
If you make any mischief, I lose my cloak, Diomedes replies, as if he's won a great victory.
Dido was not pleased. She frowns after Helios, as if he'd sprouted horns.
What is it? I ask.
The only reason he'd say yes is if he was worried we might need you.
Has he fought this far before, in the Far Ink?
Dido shakes her head.
No, none of us have. Until this attack, we thought he was a myth. No matter, Bascomani and Volk, they're just genetic perversions and thick-brained infantry. They'll probably tear one another apart before we even reach the belt.
She presses something into my hand.
For the poison. It'll help.
Diomedes will show you how to use it.
Godspeed, boys. I will see you in Ilium.